Well, good morning. I am very delighted to be here with you this morning. I have served at InterCity for about 30 years, and I was a youth pastor for about 10 years, and then I had to work with people that I could outrun. So I started working with folks who were in the hospital, and I've enjoyed being there, and I grew up there, my wife there at InterCity, and so I've enjoyed being there, but you know, you're kind of in one church for 30 years. And they don't let me out much. So it's good to get to come to a place like this where I know Brandon and his wife, Marlene. Marlene, right? Melanie. All right, yeah. I don't know her. I know Brandon and their two children. So I'm delighted to be here. And thanks for having me. Not that you had much of a choice, but thanks for having me. I was thinking about the graduates. They told me there were some graduates today, and just thinking about graduating from high school and college and these sorts of milestones. And some of these graduates are thinking about what their next step is. And some of us are old enough that maybe these kinds of things were distant memories for us. And yet, there's all sorts of seasons of life. There's the season of graduation, and there's a season of kind of trying to figure out if God has a spouse for you and what you're going to do to set up your home. And then we're kind of at the stage where our children are getting older. My oldest is 25, my middle is 21, and my youngest is 17. And he's a junior in high school, and he's going to graduate, Lord willing, next year and maybe go off to college somewhere, hopefully. And then we'll be left alone, and it'll just be Marcia and me in our house. And that's another season. And some of you are at different stages of that. And with each of those seasons is an opportunity to just think about, you know, what the Lord has for you next. And so I hope as these folks graduate that you'll be praying for them and asking God to help them to sense His will for their life, just as you are sensing, trying to sense and discern every day what God's will is for you. I hope you are, aren't you? And I hope you're praying for them as they go. The world, and I'll mention this again in a few minutes, is trying to squeeze us into a mold, isn't it? Paul reminds us of that. And one of the ways I think we're getting squeezed at times into a mold is by defining what success is. You know, as these folks graduate and as you're living your life, you know, just in the workaday world and the things that God's given you, sometimes we think success is what? The world's squeezing us into a mold thinking, what is success? It's having something bigger, newer. It's having, you know, lots of friends, lots of affirmation. Maybe as you get older, it's the reality that you have prestige, and people know you. What is it that's defining success for you? The world's going to try to get you to think it's you know, being well known and these sorts of things. It's going on vacation to these far off places. You know, you ever see people on Facebook going somewhere? And it's a temptation to be envious and jealous and maybe a little bitter. You know, why can't I go there? Why can't I do that? And sometimes we think that's the good life. That's success. And I want you this morning, and I just ask the Lord to help me. You know, you come in, and I don't know you. I've met some of the folks here this morning. I don't know you. I don't know what you're facing this week. I don't know what you faced in the past. You know, I'm a pastor, I'm a shepherd, and shepherds like to be around sheep and kind of smell a little bit like the sheep that they're around, right? And yet I come in and I'm no evangelist, I'm no, you know, blow in, blow up, and blow out kind of guy. I don't know where you are. But this morning I believe God has a message for you because it's from His Word. I want to encourage you about what it is that real success in life is. What does it mean to be successful? We read from Psalm 1, didn't we? In Psalm 1, it says that if we'll live our lives a certain way, that God promises that He'll bless us, that we'll be successful. And as Americans, we interpret that as what? I'll have that nice car. Hey, does God promise that? Is that God's definition of success? In one word, what would you say God's definition of success is? What would be a word that would define success? You thinking of a word? You know, it's not those things that pass away. We're reminded, the psalmist says, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Okay? So what's your word? Joy? Contentment? Christ? Okay? So this morning, I just want, in a few moments that we have together, to help us to calibrate our thoughts, because if we're not careful, we're going to let the world squeeze us into a mold. And I want us to think about what God says success is. You can be successful even if nobody knows you. You can be successful even if life is filled with pain. Was John the Baptist successful? He did what God wanted him to do. What was his life like? They were all following him, right? And that's a great thing. And he's preaching these sermons and everybody's following him. And then all of a sudden, they all start leaving him. And they're saying to him, John, look, they're leaving you. And yet he could rejoice in that. Why? He says, because I'm not the Christ, he is. And they're going to follow Christ. His job was to point people to Christ. And he was successful even when everybody was leaving him, because they were following Christ. This morning, what is it that you're living for? What is it that can never be taken away? This past 5 weeks has been incredible. I was laying in bed on Friday, April the 5th. Now it wouldn't be the 15th. April the 13th, I think, was a Friday. Maybe it was the 12th. My phone rang, and they said, are you Tracy? I said, yes, I'm Tracy. They said, this is so-and-so from Beaumont Dearborn Hospital. Do you know Jim Fressel? Jim Fressel's my dad. He's 75 years old. They said, a man by the name of Jim Fressel came to the emergency room. He had a massive heart attack. And we've been trying to figure out who his family is. He was working out at the gymnasium. They didn't have any ID on him. And they were somehow able to figure out that he was Jim. And they started searching Facebook and whatever to find who's related to Jim Fressel. It took him 2 hours to find me. My dad had a massive heart attack. Thank the Lord he's doing better. But, man, they had to use the AED and use CPR on him. And thank the Lord for that. So he's on the mend. And 2.5 weeks later, they say, hey, Tracy, Tim, your brother, who's 3 years older than you, just had a stroke. They took him to the hospital. Just as my dad was leaving the hospital, they were taking my brother in the hospital. Had a stroke. He's out exercising. Finished his exercise and just couldn't talk. His face was drooping. Thank the Lord. Somebody was right there in God's kindness. Got medicine and he's doing well. And so, you know what I've taken from that? I don't exercise. I watch TV, eat potato chips, because they were both exercising. You know, and you think of those things and you think of what could have happened. What if somebody hadn't been there when my brother was having his episode? What if my dad wasn't around people who knew how to use those devices? You know, we don't know what a day will bring. My dad's 75, my brother's 55. You're maybe 35. You don't know what a day is going to bring. But I can tell you this, that if you'll center your life on what God says this morning, you can be successful. John the Baptist died young. So many of the of Christ's followers, his disciples, died young. And yet they found success because they were living by something that's different than what the world says. Some live to be old, and you can be successful. Don't you want to be the kind of person who finishes well? My friend, this has been just an incredible 6 months. My friend, his name was Jesse Martin. He would go calling with me 2 or 3 times a week. He lived to be 92 years old. We went calling on December 1st of last year. Our last call involved taking a Bill Knapp's chocolate cake and some ice cream to one of the persons who turned 90. And we had Bill Knapp's chocolate cake and vanilla ice cream on December 1st. That day, Jesse said, "I just don't feel that good." And that was the beginning of an end for him on this life after 92 years. But his last, one of his last things he was doing, know what he was doing? He was visiting people in our church, encouraging them with God's word. Don't you want to finish like that? Well, today, no matter where you are, I believe if you'll take God and his word seriously, you can be successful. And so this morning, that's what I want us to look at. Our text this morning is in Joshua. So if you would turn with me to Joshua. Joshua chapter 1. There's some water under here. Is this relatively fresh water? Cool. That's much better water out here on this side of the state than what we have over there in Detroit. We got hit with flooding over there in Detroit. Our basements are turning into indoor swimming pools, so we've had a lot of water, but this is better water. Joshua chapter 1. You know the story, no doubt, if you've been in church for a while, of Joshua and what's happened. Moses has led the children of Israel and has seen God do amazing things. And yet, Moses did not obey God completely. And God said, "Speak to the rock." And Moses got mad and handled it his own way. And my friend, God takes it seriously when we disobey him. And Moses was not able to go into the promised land. Joshua would be the one who would help to lead the people into the promised land. Now that day, God talks to Joshua. And this morning, in the few minutes that we have together, I'd just like us to look at this passage and see what God's instructions to Joshua were. It says in verse 1 that Moses had died, and God then takes opportunity to talk to Joshua. He says in verse number 4, it says, from the wilderness of this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun, will be your territory. So he's telling him what he's going to do for him and God's people. Verse 5, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give to them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Let's again pray and just ask for God's help as we look at this passage. God, thank you so much for your word, which is sufficient for each of us today. Thank you that we can take time to worship you and really center our lives on you. I don't know everything that's happened in these folks' lives. I know for me it's been a busy week with a lot of just different activities, and it's easy to be distracted. And I pray that your Spirit would work in us this morning to center us on you and to use your word by your Spirit to convict us of where we're going our own way, where we need to trust you more. We pray that you would give us encouragement in your word. Thank you for this story, for these truths that can encourage us today. We live in a different day and a different time, And yet we look to a passage like this, as Apostle Paul reminded us, that we would take great courage from it. So bless this service today. Thank you for what you've already done, for the truth of the songs that we've sung, for your grace that's been evident in folks' lives. And help us to, with all of our hearts, seek you for these few moments together. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. What's the greatest invention of your lifetime? Sometimes I'll ask people who've been around for a while, like my friend Jesse, you know, what's the greatest invention that came about in your time? Well, obviously the personal computer might be what people would say, but I don't know what it is for you. Know what it is for me? The microwave oven. Man, I used to remember when I was a kid, how'd you cook hot dogs back in the day? Two ways. You boiled them on the stove. And I can remember my mom doing that. My grandma used to cook them in a one of those ovens where she would grill the bread and cook the hot dog together. I forget exactly what that was, but it slid out in a toaster oven. Yeah, slid out, and all those crumbs would be at the bottom. And you know, in 1980, 81, I forget when we got our first microwave in our house. It was awesome. You mean you can put a hot dog in there and it's ready in a minute? That's awesome. Okay, yeah, I don't know what it is for you. All right, but you know, the problem with a microwave is we tend to think everything ought to be that quick. And when God grows a person, when God is trying to grow a person, he doesn't use a microwave. He uses more like that crock pot, right? I love to make chili in a crock pot. I love to make it because it's easy. Just dump this and this and this and turn it on and come back home and it's done. Hours later, it's done. And God is more about growing people and cultivating success in you as like a crock pot than a microwave oven. And we want God to do his work, and we want him to do it now. And I think what we see in this passage is, as God is trying to grow a person and cultivate success in them, it's not done instantaneously. It's a process. Where was Joshua? Imagine this story, all right? Moses had led them for all those years, right? Moses is gone, and now Joshua's there. What's Joshua thinking? Are you thinking? Are you thinking right now? Joshua's getting ready to take him in. What emotions does he have in him? Any emotions? Does Brandon ever ask you to respond? Probably not. All right. Brandon's big brain guy, right? Me is more of a little brain. I put the fun in fundamentalism around our place. The other guys put the mental in it, you know? But all right, so you're not going to say anything out loud. I understand that. But in your mind, what emotion do you think Joshua's facing? You think he's a little sad? Moses is gone. You think he's thinking, oh my, I'm going to lead these people? You think he might be a little fearful? You think he might be a little bit overwhelmed? You think he might be a little bit excited? You know, something that we expected. So he's got all these things going on. You face that at all? You face fear, overwhelm, sadness, excitement? You know, you're looking forward to something, but then you're like, how are we going to get through this? Okay, if you've ever thought that, this passage is for you. Okay, how are we going to do it? Okay, how are we going to finally do what God has promised? God's promised it, and Joshua is going to lead the people. Okay. And the question is, how is God going to grow this man? How is he going to cultivate success? Is God going to give them the land? Yes, that's what he says, right? Okay. The problem is, there's lots of things standing in the way of them going in and possessing this land. What's standing in the way? People who think they're going to live there, okay, and they're going to have to take them on and take them out. Okay, there's going to be some challenges there. Okay, and the question is, God is going to succeed. Is God going to do his will in your life? He will. But what's he going to do? There's going to be a process. In fact, I'll never forget, a lady in her church, as was mentioned, I spend a lot of time in hospitals, a lot of time in people's living rooms talking to them. one of the ladies in our church, and I'll never forget this. They just got, back in the day, it was a Miata. A Miata. What company built those Miatas? Anyway, a little sports car. Mazda. Okay, no, somebody did say something. No top on it. It was a convertible. I'll never forget, her and her husband come bebopping into a place that I was with their new Miata, and they said, "We can't wait till we retire, and we're going to get to travel." And a couple months later, I'm in their living room, and she got a diagnosis of cancer. And she said, "You know what? I'm not afraid of the end, because I'm trusting the Lord. I know where I'm going to go. It's just the process. It's the process of getting there." And what was so neat about that lady is God, every step of the way, just gave grace for every trial. And it was the process. God's going to accomplish his will, but he's going to take us through a process. I don't know what the process is going to involve for you this week. Okay? But this passage helps us to see how God he grows us. And I titled the message, God's Pathway to Success. There's really three maybe milestones or hedges or the flags that mark the pathway to success. God will succeed. He is powerful. He's sovereign. He will accomplish his will. But the question is, what is God's pathway to doing that? And I think we see it here in this passage in Joshua 1. So you ready? Are you with me? Okay. Okay. I hope that you'll give God's word your attention as we look at this. The question is, what are the ways that God grows a person to do his will in their life? Or what's God's pathway to success in a person's life? And I think there's three things that we see clearly in this passage. Number one, the first marker, or the first way in which God marks out his pathway to success, if you're going to succeed in life and finish what God has begun in you, you must listen carefully to the direction God gives you. You must listen carefully to God's direction. That's why we read Psalm 1 this morning. Psalm 1 is all about us living our lives, giving careful attention not to the passing pleasure and wisdom of the world, but living our lives according to what God says. The world is screaming at you, and your flesh is pulling inside of you to listen to their counsel. They're saying, live for what's new and what's now. Live for what you can touch and taste and see. As I mentioned to you, Romans 12 says the world is trying to shape you into its mold. Seems like never before, here in contemporary American culture, you're being compelled to live in a way that sets God and his word aside in favor of what seems right and fair to a natural mind. You see, indwelling sin seeks to do the same, to live for now, to live for what feels good, to live for what makes sense. It's because it's a traitor who lives within you, and it never ceases to influence you. I mean, again, I'm just thinking of different groups that might be sitting before me this morning. Can you imagine being a teenager living in this world and just getting bombarded with so many messages that are coming at you? You know, an average teenager sends 60 text messages a day. And maybe that's not a good stat, because I don't know that teens do as much texting as I was thinking. But, you know, there's all sorts of things that come. 1,800 text messages a month, 22,000 a year. I mean, that's just text messages, not to mention all the other social media interactions that are coming at a teenager. Try to squeeze them into its mold. You as a young adult, thinking about what life might have in front of you. The world is telling you what to live for. And even if you're at the other end of the spectrum, you've worked and you've spent your time and you've punched the clock, and now whose time is it? It's my time. Now I get to kick back and relax, and I'm telling you, I am so thankful for a guy like Jesse Martin, who retired at 65 and spent nearly 30 years in ministry just visiting every single day. He didn't view it as a time to kick back. He viewed it as a time to work for the Lord. Who are you listening to? Who are you listening to help you define success in life? So quick to turn to our own way. All these things are coming at you. And you have to cultivate an ear that listens carefully to the one whose voice truly matters. What in the text tells us this? Can you think of, if we just focus on verses 7 through 9, okay, verses 7 through 9, do you see in 7 through 9 where God is saying to Joshua, listen to me, listen to me? He says what in verse 7? Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. In fact, how well should you listen to? Don't turn from the left to the right. Okay? This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. What's he saying there? He's really it's a funny statement, isn't it? Don't let it depart from your mouth. Yeah, I'm going to hold the Bible. What's he saying? Well, think about it this way. Let's say you're a student and you're trying to remember the five important points for that test that you're going to take in the next couple hours. Have you ever like made a little statement that starts with the first letter of those five words and you just kept saying it over and over and over again? You know? In fact, you know maybe the alphabet, because you learned the alphabet song, right? I was in seminary, same place that Brandon went to seminary, and I can just remember. All right, don't forget this, 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 and this. And what do you keep doing? You're going to take the test, and what are you doing? You're just saying it over and over and over again because you don't want to forget it. You know what he's saying here? Keep literally muttering God's word. Keep God's word in the front of your mind or in the text here on the tip of your tongue. Don't let it depart from your mouth. Keep muttering God's word. What's that look like? Do you read your Bible in the morning? You don't have to read your Bible in the morning. You can, you know, pick your time. Okay? But what's the great thing about reading your Bible in the morning? That you just can remember it all through the day. Yesterday, my verse was, my thought was, God, help me to learn and to do your will. I want to learn and do your will. Peter reminded us that time is sufficient to have done all these things. So with the time left, let's work for God's will. I kept thinking about that all day yesterday. Situation came up. And I was reminded of what I'd read in the morning. Okay? Let me ask you, how do you do that? How do you remember God's word? Okay? Maybe you put it on a card, you put it in your pocket. Just take a truth that God's trying to teach you for the day and put it on a card in your pocket and just keep looking at that thing. You know, write down on the palm of your hand, maybe. Just a verse. Say, God, help me to remember what your word said. We do that in ways that we don't want to forget stuff. I set 4 alarms for today, okay? Because I had to leave my place, and I didn't quite get away early enough, all right? But I had to leave, you know, I was shooting to leave before 8 o'clock to get here. Problem was I'd stayed up late last night, okay? And so I set some alarms. And then, you know, I kept thinking with my phone, you know how many times I checked the address for Grace Baptist in Marshall? You live on, this church is on Cosmopolitan, right? Is that the road? Okay, I'll know that now because I must have looked 5 times because I kept looking to make sure I'm going to the right place. I didn't want to forget it. I didn't want to miss it. I wanted to make sure I showed up where I was supposed to be. It's like that with God's word. It says, don't let it depart from your mouth so that you may be careful to do. There's a carefulness about God's word. It's in my tongue. It's on my lips. It's in my heart. I'm meditating. How long? Day and night. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night. Do you go to bed at night thinking, God, how did I obey you today? What could I do different by your grace? How do I need to change? God wants you to listen carefully to what he says that you should do, to think about over and over again. So, here's a couple in a marriage. They've been married for 15 years. And they're starting to think, I'm not sure. It's not everything I'd hoped it would be. There's the world is telling me something. It's saying, if I'm not happy, maybe there's another way. Maybe I can get out. What would you do with that person? How would you help that person? You would say, well, there's some truth in God's word that you need to hear. Okay? And what's God's word say? Husbands, love. Okay? There's a verse, and you're going to remind them of the truth of God's word. Let's say he's a jerk. Does God have a verse or truth that would help a wife who's married to a jerk? I say that lovingly, all right? Because you chose them, right? All right, anyway. Let's say your friend across the table from you at Starbucks says, I just can't live with him any longer. Is there a verse that you would be a means of God's grace to help? I just can't do that anymore. What would you say? Well, it's interesting to say that. And you're going to have to season this, right, with seasoning. But can I show you a verse in 1 Corinthians that says, there's no temptation taken you, but to such as common man, God is faithful, who will allow you to do what? To endure. Can I show you a verse in 2 Corinthians that says, God's grace is sufficient? Paul had a pain, some sort of pain, and it hurt. But what did Paul learn? God's grace is sufficient. And you might be the means of God's grace to somebody this week to remind them about what God has written. But it's up to you to listen. To hear. How about somebody who's a little bit older and they've got pains in their body everywhere? And old Arthur, you know Arthur probably, if you're getting older, you know him, right? Arthritis keeps showing up, right? And you've been to the doctor and there's not much they can do and it hurts every day and I just feel like giving up. Is there a word for that person? Can God give them grace? If the teenager says, yeah, I just want to live for today. I don't care what's going to happen tomorrow. I just want to do what's fun now. And you know what? The world's saying it's all right to do these things. Is there a verse for them? Can you take God's word and be a means of grace in this congregation to help others? God has a word for every situation in which we find ourselves. God's word, my friend, is what? It's sufficient. For the inner person issues of your life. For every test that you face. And again, I don't know who I'm talking to. There may be somebody here and you say, Tracy, you don't understand. And you know what I'd say to that? You're right, I don't. But, you know, there is somebody who does understand. And what's his name? His name is Jesus, who sits at a throne of grace and offers what? Grace to help in time of need. And he'll give you grace. So wherever you are, whatever situation you're in, you can be successful. I'm not saying you're going to have the big mansion that everybody says, wow, look at that house, I want that house. You're not going to drive the fast car, maybe. Everyone says, well, I want that car. But you know what? You can be successful. You can have joy. You can have peace. You can have the things that really matter in life because of your relationship with Christ. But you first and foremost have to listen carefully to the direction God gives you. And my friend, that is centered on His Word. You got to be in God's Word. If you're not in God's Word, you're not going to know God's will. So take time every day to spend time in God's Word. Joshua, different day, different time. How much of God, did Joshua have his Bible like this? Yeah. He probably didn't carry around a scroll, but he knew God's Word. And God says, listen, listen to what you've heard my Word is. He had the law. He had these things. So, if you're going to be successful, first of all, you have to listen carefully. You with me? Is that in the text? Yeah, I challenge you. Just, you don't have to take notes. Just look at this text and say, what does this text say? Number one, you have to listen carefully. Is it good enough just to listen? The second thing you have to do is what? We sang about it. It's so cool. Whoever picked the songs out, that was awesome. Because you have to trust and obey. You know what the second one is? The first one is, it's listen carefully. The second one is choose courageously. If you're going to succeed in life, if you're going to finish what God has begun in you, you must choose carefully to choose courageously to practice the instruction God has given to you. Again, we saw in verse 7, don't turn from the right or the left. What's that look like? What's that look like? You know what I did? Dummy, Tracy. I'm coming down this road out here. Before I turn on Cosmopolitan, my GPS says in point whatever, turn right. I saw the healthcare facility or something that was up on the corner, and I was thinking, well, maybe that's a church. And I realized it wasn't a church, but I was thinking about that road, and I turned right. And, you know, this is a dead end. So my GPS took me, I had to go loop all the way around the block to get back here. Because what was I doing? I was hearing it, but I turned to the right too early, right? I didn't follow what I was being told to do. What's that look like for you? What would that look like for Joshua? Let's ask that question first. So God says, I'm going to give you this. Just listen carefully. And for Joshua, what would that look like? What would turning to the right or turning to the left look like for Joshua instead of following straight ahead God's instruction? You know, I don't know. I didn't live back then, but it could be that when God said to Moses, speak to the rock, and Moses says, I got a better way, I'm going to hit the rock. Okay? For you, God says the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. But here you are as a dad, and your son is ticking you off. So what are you going to do? I know that God's word says the wrath of man does not accomplish the righteousness of God, but I'm going to take it in my own hands, and I'm going to yell. How did that go? I turned to the right, turned to the left. The soft answer turneth away wrath. What's it look like for you? You know, I just can't go on anymore. I need this thing. I need to indulge in this. This will really bring me relief. And to turn to the right or the left. And God says, no, trust in my grace. Draw near to me, and I'll give you grace. Again, I don't know what that is for you. Joshua, God says, don't turn to the right or left. Verse 8 says, don't let this, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. Okay? God wants us to hear and obey. My words are, we must choose courageously to practice the instruction God gives you. Okay? I know we're done in 5 minutes. I'll be done, I promise. But the point is this. You look at David, who stood in front of Goliath, and you think, I'll do that. I'll do that one day for God. But where was God preparing David for that day? Well, he delivered him from the paw of the bear and the lion. But what about even before that? He was just faithfully obeying his father to do what he had been commissioned to do. You know, that's where God grows us. I read in God's word, And then yesterday, a situation came up where I felt like we're being wronged, quite honestly. But my key yesterday was trying to find the will of God, what pleases Him. And my son at 17 says, "But Dad," and he reminded me of a truth. And I'm like, "Oh, yeah, that's it. This is God's will. We're going to take it because God knows, and it will advance the gospel." And it's in those little choices that God cultivates a person who's able to stand. Are you courageously obeying Christ today in His truth in those little choices? Maybe that nobody ever knows about, but are courageously following Him. God says, choose courageously. Well, look at verse 9. "Have not I commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." You know what the last one is? Having said we ought to be careful in our listening to God's word and courageous in our choosing, we ought to strive constantly. That's number 3. Strive constantly to know the God who has commissioned you. Strive constantly to know Him. The Lord is with you wherever you go. You know, Matthew gives us the Great Commission. And having said that we're to go make disciples of all the nations, Jesus promised His presence with us. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. God hasn't left you alone. See, what do we do when we're little kids? We run into Grandma's house and say, "Grandma, Grandma, I'm here." And for me, it was eating those fudgesicles out of her freezer and those ice creams that she had. "Grandma, Grandma, I'm here." Push Grandma aside, go run to the freezer and eat all of her food, right? When you grow older, what do? You're glad to be there at Grandma's house because you love Grandma, not just the ice cream. Now, don't get me wrong, I like the ice cream, okay? But the older you get, it's more about the person, not just what they do for you. Remember Martha? Jesus said, "Martha, Martha, you're worried about many things. But Mary has chosen the priority." And what was that? Sitting at Jesus' feet, enjoying Him. Hey, you ought to listen carefully. You ought to courageously obey. And your activity, though, don't forget that you're seeking, you're striving constantly to know the God who has commissioned you. When you, in the middle of your battle, this week, as you face those choices where you have to courageously obey, know what you find? If you're seeking God, know what you find? You find that God is powerful, that God is merciful, that God is faithful. He is faithful. This, as we mentioned before, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. So I say to you, strive constantly. Constantly seek to know the one who has commissioned you and find God's presence. Don't turn to the right. Don't turn to the left. This morning, as Joshua was facing his opportunity, you today, I don't know what it is for the week. I think you mentioned it before. We're here and we don't know exactly what's going to happen this week, but God, help us to do your will. Help us to grow. Cultivate success in us as we listen carefully, we choose courageously, and we seek constantly to know the one who is with us. Well, you know the rest of the story, don't you? Did God grow him? Yeah. Was it easy? No. But God did it because Joshua was a person who was following the Lord. May God help us. Father, thank you again for your word that guides us. Thank you for your truth that guards us. Help us to faithfully seek you in all the voices that are screaming at us. Help us to hear you in your word. Help us to obey with courage to make right, faithful choices. And in that, may we find you. May we grow closer to you as we walk with you. God, thank you so much for this passage, and thank you for the opportunity you've given us today to live this truth out in Christ's name. Amen.